today from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you've not been through first steps, everybody say first steps. If you've not ever been through first steps and you'd like to be a part of that and see more about our church and where you can be involved and serve and all of that, we're going to start first steps again next Sunday. And everybody, if you're interested, see Sister Brooklyn. Wave at everybody, Sister Brooklyn. And she'll get you plugged in and tell you what you need to do. But that will be starting again next Sunday for 4 weeks after our Sunday morning service. And we're excited about that. Amen. And if you are, if you've been around church a little bit, but you'd like to get grounded and you've never been through our discipleship series, Next Steps, well, you want to get ready for that. And it looks like we're going to be starting in March. And this goes for quite a few weeks, but it's just a foundational course about what we believe and what it means to pray, what it means to go through spiritual warfare, and, you know, all these different things, what it means to live holy and all of that, all these areas that are involved in Christian living. And Brother Steed, Joe Steed, is going to help us coordinating that. And we're excited about that Next Steps course. So if you're interested in that, talk to Brother Steed. Talk to Brother Duff or talk to me and we'll get you plugged in. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Can I just say that we see a lot of people every day, all throughout town, all throughout our lives, that they have been blinded. They have been blinded. But we're praying that God takes that blindness away and that the light of truth is going to shine into their lives. Amen. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Today I preach to you about the divine order to God's glory. The divine order to God's glory. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. God works through divine order. In creation, he brought order to chaos. All throughout Scripture, we see his design to bring everything into order. 1 Corinthians 14 and 33 tells us, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians 14 and 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Before God manifests his glory, there must be divine order. Once there is order and once his glory is revealed, there will be great blessings and anointing and power and miracles and signs and wonders. And if we want to see his glory, if we want to have his glory revealed in our lives and in our church and in our families, then our job today is to allow God to instill his divine order in us, to search our lives and to search our hearts so that God can work on us and work through us to bring his divine order so that his glory may be revealed. There is a divine order to God's glory. Let's look at this from the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. In the beginning, the earth was without form. There was a void. There was chaos. There was no order to it all, but the Spirit of God hovered over this chaos. And when his word was released, things began moving from disorder to order. That does not happen on its own. That does not happen by accident. That does not happen just naturally. No, things generally go from order to disorder, but it was the Word of God. I tell you today, we need the Word of God in our lives. We need the Word of God in our hearts. We need the Word of God in our homes. If you think that your life and your family and your existence is just made up of chaos, you need a little bit of the Word. You need a whole lot of the Word of God to bring order to that chaos. When the word of God was spoken, things began moving to order. Divine order was set into place on this planet we call Earth. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And the light was divided from the darkness, and time began with the light being called day and the darkness being called night. And then God created the atmosphere. The waters were divided from the land, and God prepared the earth for 6 days. He took special care with the garden that he planted, and all of the creatures and living things that he created. They're still astounding scientists today as they continually discover more fabulous details about the order that God has put into everything he created. And then God created man. Once the garden was ready, the whole focus of his creation was brought to fulfillment. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." The breath of life that God breathed into that mere dust, it brought Adam alive. Man was created in the image and in the likeness of God. And God then created the woman from the man, and he placed them in the Garden of Eden, and everything was in order. It's interesting to see how all of the other creatures were given coverings. Animals have fur. Birds have feathers. Fish have scales or shells, but man did not have an outer covering. Genesis 2:25 tells us, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Everything was in order, though. Everything was according to God's specifications. He looked at all that he had created, and he said, "It is good." It was all in order. And so why then would man not have a covering? David wrote in Psalm 8, verses 3 through 5, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor." And all that God created, in all that was so good, he then made man and woman special. They were different than the rest. They were crowned with glory and with honor. Indeed, it could be said that the glory of God surrounded them. The glory of God encircled them. The man and the woman, they were clothed with the glory of God so that they did not need natural clothing because they were surrounded by God's glory. Oh, what blessings they enjoyed. Things indescribable to us today. The garden yielded its fruit without having to be cultivated. Animals lived in harmony with each other and with man. There was no sickness, no disease. There was no poverty, no pain. Oh, but best of all, they could enjoy walking in the presence of God in his glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God brought order to that which was without form. He brought order to the chaos. He had set things into his divine order, and then he released his glory into it. He created all things. He set man and woman in the garden, and the blessings abounded, and life was great. It literally could not have been better. and the divine order of God. But then came the fall. God commanded them not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for to disobey would mean a spiritual, immediate spiritual death. So Satan mocked God and challenged his word. Genesis 3 and 4 says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And they chose to disobey God, showing the ultimate irreverence to God's will and instruction. They took of the fruit and displeased and disobeyed God. And judgment did follow. At once they knew that they were naked. The glory had departed, leaving them uncovered and separated from God in a state of spiritual death. They quickly prepared a few leaves, and they tried their best to cover themselves, but God saw what they had done, and he pronounced judgment on them. He gave them clothes of animal skins, and the fallen couple, they were driven from the garden where eternal life was found. And yes, the judgment was so very severe. It was the result of their irreverent disobedience in the presence of God's glory. I want to tell you today, God will give divine order to the chaos of life. If you will let him, God will speak order into the chaos that you are dealing with today. If you will let him, God will take all of the mess that we have created. He'll start putting the pieces back together again. He will speak his word into situations, and he will set things into order. And when things are ordered after the will of God, his blessings will follow. But the moment that we step out of our place of submission and reverence and true worship unto God and obedience to his word, we are in danger of losing God's glory in our lives. It was hundreds of years later, and God finds a friend in Abraham. Through his obedience to God, generations would receive the blessings and the promises of God. And then Abraham's descendants find themselves slaves in Egypt for 400 years. But God raises up a man named Moses, and they are delivered out of bondage. And then God instructs Moses in Exodus 25 and 8, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. God gave very careful and very specific instructions on how to build the tabernacle. The plan was very detailed. The measurements, the materials, the furnishings, the offerings, who is to build it, who is to serve in it. So many instructions that it fills many chapters in the Bible. God's plan of divine order in his tabernacle. The last part of Exodus 40 and 33 declares that Moses finished the work. And moving on to verse 34, it says, "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Once the divine order and plan of God that he had given was finished, then and only then did God reveal his glory. It was so strong. The cloud was there. The glory of God filled the tabernacle because everything had been done according to the plan and the order of God. I tell you today, it is important how we live our lives. It's important how we dress. It's important the things that we do and the things that we don't do. The way that we talk, the way that we conduct ourselves. There are things that God has set in his word that those things do matter today. And when we learn to follow the divine order that God has set for us, we will see the blessings and the glory of God fall in our lives. You see, some people, they just dismiss the commandments of God and oh, well, that really doesn't matter. And, you know, God's a merciful God, and he really doesn't care if we do this or if we do that, and we can live like we want and still have his blessings in our lives. And we can make up our own rules, and he'll still accept us. And we can worship however we choose, and that's good enough. Oh, we can baptize however we want in whatever name we want, and that'll still get you to heaven. And in fact, if you don't want to get baptized, they say it's okay. You don't have to do that. You can still be saved. Just be a good person and you'll be okay. Oh, really? Not according to the plan of God. Not according to the blueprint that he has given. Come on, God is a God of order. And if we want the glory of God in our lives, if we want his glory poured out on us, if we want his glory to fall in our church services and in our families and in our city, then we've got to follow his plan, because there's a divine order to the glory of God. Come on, I'm speaking to a people today that you need the glory of God. You need his anointing. You need the blessings that come from his presence. You need the power of his anointing in your life. Come on, you're just barely existing. You're just barely existing. But God says, I've got so much more for you. If you will follow my divine plan, if you'll get into my word, if you'll follow my order that I've prepared for you, I have an abundance of blessings and power and ability for your life. Amen, amen. I believe there's some things that God would speak to us about in ordering our lives for his glory today. It's the beginning of the year. Well, it's almost the end of January. This, can you believe? We're already here at February. Beginning of the year, sometimes you have New Year's resolutions and people fasting and praying, and it should not be just in January that happens. It should be a whole year thing, and all the time seeking after the presence of God, reading his word. God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? Is there anything you want me to change about my life? Is there anything about the direction that I'm taking that you're not happy with, that you're not pleased with? And I believe that during this season, we ought to examine our hearts and let the Holy Ghost examine us. God, is there anything in me that is not pleasing to you? Is there anything about my life? Is there anything about our attitude? Is there anything about the actions that I'm doing? Is there anything, Lord, that you're not displeased, that you're displeased with? Because, God, I want to be pleasing to you. I want to be pleasing to you. I want your spirit to feel comfortable around me. Come on, don't you want the spirit of the Lord to feel comfortable around you? Don't you want the glory of God to feel comfortable in your home? Don't you want the blessings of God to be abundant in your family? I tell you, we need to search our hearts and say, God, in prayer and in fasting and in reading the word of God, Lord, what is it about my life that I can do better with? How can I do better, Lord? How can I be closer to you? How can I leave the things of the world behind so that I can reach towards your glory and your power and your blessings, oh Lord? There needs to be a hunger and a desire. What is it when we come to church and we're just existing and we just come and we're a little bit moved, but then we go back to the same way we've lived all week, and there's no change and there's no burden and there's no hunger and there's no desire for the Lord, and we go all week long without talking to him, and we come back and we're still in the same state we were last week. There's no change. There's no movement on our part towards the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There needs to be a hunger in us. There needs to be a desire in us. God, I've got to have more of you. I've got to get closer to you. I'm not happy just being like I am right now. But Lord, I've got to grow. I've got to reach towards you. Amen, amen. Let me talk to us about our devotion, our times of devotion. Yes, thank God for corporate worship. Thank God for coming and hearing the preaching of the word and praying together in the altar. And thank God for songs of praise. And thank God for all of that. And we're going to keep that up. But oh, God forbid, that's not the only time.
God forbid that we don't ever find a place of prayer in our home. God forbid that we don't ever take a time with our family and say, come on, we're facing some stuff right now that we don't know what we're going to do. And so as a family, we're going to get together and pray. That should be the first response. It shouldn't be after we've tried everything else. No, it should be the first response to a situation that arises. Come on, family. We don't know how we're going to handle this, but we're going to get together, and God's going to make a way, and God's going to provide, and God's going to heal, and God's going to bless. I want to challenge us to take a weekly night, whether it's Sunday night, Monday night, whatever it is, whatever's good for your family, but have a time every week that there's a family time of devotion. And I know, hey, it's hard. We're busy. My family's as busy as the rest of us, but we're going to do that, and we're going to make a priority of there's going to be a weekly time of devotion, and we're going to get together, and we're going to pray together as a family, and we're going to talk about the Word of God, because we're going to grow together as a family, and I want the order, the divine order of God, to be upon our home. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I believe that God is saying that things are just all lining up according to His plan. And sometimes we look at it and think, oh, this is chaos. This is confusion. This is trouble. This is a mess. But God's saying, just give me a little time, because I'm working some things, and it's coming together and according to my plan. You just read in the Word of God about the end times. Things are coming together. Things are coming together. Folks, I want to tell you, it's time that we be about our Father's business. It's time we be about the Lord's business. Hallelujah. Let's get things into order. Let's God order. Let's let Him order our lives. Let's let Him make a way in us. Come on. We need to be coming to church every service. Every service. We need to be coming to church. We need to come early for pre-service prayer. We need to come to church family prayer. Come on. This is what we're living for. I got a little news for you. You're not living for that job you go to from 9 to 5 every day. You're not living for going to that high school or going to that junior high or wherever it is. That's not your real calling in life. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know you need a paycheck, and thank the Lord for a paycheck, but that's not your highest calling. Your highest calling is to be a child of the King. Your highest calling is to be a vessel that He can use. Your highest calling is that you would be in the will of God, and that your life would be ordered according to His Word. Hallelujah. And we can't expect to be admitted into the presence of God if we don't have a reverence and an honor for Him. We can't expect to get into God's glory if we have an attitude of disrespect. Now, I know there's lots of churches out there, and there's different ways of doing church. And I want to tell you what, the presence of the Lord can move anywhere. It can move anywhere. And if I was a cowboy, I might, you know, enjoy cowboy church. And if, you know, I'm not, but that's okay, okay? We're probably not going to do that here, because I'm not a cowboy. But we're seeing a movement in the church world today of, well, just, it's casual. And I'm not here to tell you that you have to go buy a $500 suit in order to come to church. But I believe that when you just take on the casual dress and the casual attitude and the casual relaxed atmosphere, it affects the spiritual realm as well. I detest wearing a tie. And I'm not saying a tie is going to get you to heaven, okay? I'm not saying that at all. But there is something about dressing our best for the Lord. And we don't do that out of pride, and we don't do that to show off, you know, the blessings. No, we dress modestly and conservatively. Thank the Lord for that. But I believe there's something about ironing that shirt. I believe there's something about polishing the shoes. I believe there's something about combing your hair and looking nice and not looking like you just crawled out of bed. And here we are, Lord. I'm casual, but I'm here. Now bless me, God. I don't feel like you get the proper reverence and respect for the Lord out of that. There ought to be something about coming to church. I can't wait to get to the house of the Lord. And I'm going to put on something nice. And I'm going to make sure my shoes are polished. Make sure I've got deodorant and brush my teeth. And, you know, because I'm coming, this is the presence of the Lord. This is the presence of Almighty God. And I don't want to come in with the casual attitude and say, and I'm not saying that you have to have expensive clothes. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying we ought to take a little effort. We ought to take a little effort that, hey, I'm going to put on a nice shirt and I'm going to put on a nice dress, whatever it is, not me personally, but you ladies. Because I want to honor the presence of God and I don't want to come in so casual and just put my feet up and say, okay, I'm here, God, now just bless me, Lord, and I'm just all relaxed and chewing gum. And, you know, there's some things that we don't do in church. And there's a reason, because I've come to I don't want to disrespect the Lord. Leviticus chapter 10 verse 1 tells us, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of him his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Another translation says they offered profane fire. One definition for profane is to show disrespect or contempt for sacred things, to be irreverent. It means to treat what God calls holy or sacred as if it were common. These two men, they grabbed the censers that were set apart for the worship of the Lord, and they filled them with fire and incense of their own choosing. It was not the offering that God had directed them to, and they were careless about what God called holy, and they exhibited a lack of reverence. They came in with irreverence into the presence of the Lord, bearing an unacceptable offering, and they treated what was holy as common. And look what happened as a result. Leviticus 10 and 2 says, so fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. These two men, these sons of Aaron, they were instantly judged for their irreverence. They died immediately. They sinned by approaching a holy God as though he were just a common man. They had become too familiar in his presence. And following this, we read in Leviticus 10:3, then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. And before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Even though they were his sons, he held his peace. Peace, because he understood the divine order to the glory of God. God made it clear that irreverence could not survive in the presence of a holy God. And I want to tell you, today is no different. He is the same holy God. We can't expect to come into his presence with an attitude of disrespect. Don't step into this house of the Lord just because you're, well, I'm doing a favor to somebody to be here. No, we I tell you, none of us deserve the mercy and the blessing and the glory of God, the grace of God. None of us are good in ourselves. We owe everything to Jesus Christ. And we need to search our hearts every time we come into his presence. Lord, I don't want to take this too casually, but I want to give you the glory and the honor and the respect and the reverence that you deserved. We can't allow the glory of God to be so common to us that we treat it casually. To get to the place where we're so used to feeling his presence that we take it for granted. We're used to worshiping him. We're accustomed to hearing the preaching of the word. And so, well, it just bores us. And every service becomes the same. And we don't expect a dynamic move of his spirit. We're not looking for anything great to happen. It's just the same old story, the same old feeling, the same old presence and glory of God. God forbid that be where we find ourselves. I say today that too many in our church, even, we have to fight that. because we can get used and accustomed to the presence and the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's not something that we reverence. It's not something that we treat with awe and wonder, and that puts us in danger of losing the glory of God.
The fear of the Lord. It's something that has been lost on our society.
The fear of the Lord.
I don't believe that we should walk around so scared that God's going to strike us dead. That's not what I'm saying. But there needs to be a little fear that's there. There needs to be a reverence for the presence of God. There ought to be a fear of the Lord that when we're tempted, oh, my flesh wants to do that, but I don't want to displease my Lord. Oh, my friends are having a party and I really want to go and but oh, what would God think? What would the Lord say?
Nobody's around, nobody knows, but God knows. And I can't do that.
Joseph was tempted, and he said, how can I do this thing? This thing against my master, but this thing against my God.
There needs to be a fear of the Lord. There needs to be a reverence of the glory of God. I don't want to ever lose his presence. I don't want to ever lose his spirit. I don't want to have to go out from the presence of God and not have his anointing and his power.
Oh, there needs to be a fear of the Lord. Let me tell you some scriptures that deal with the fear of the Lord. It's all throughout the Word of God. Job 28:28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And depart from evil, that is understanding. Psalm 19:9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Psalm 34:11, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want wisdom? You need wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Psalm 1:29, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 2:5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. You want to live a long life? You need to go after the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 15:16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. I'd rather have a little. I'd rather have a little but have a fear of the Lord than have great trouble with all the treasures of this world. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And then look to the New Testament, Acts 9:31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. I believe that there is something about a reverence for the presence of God. There is something about a reverence for the glory of God that when you walk in the fear of the Lord and when you walk in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, that God brings his blessings. And when a church walks in the fear of the Lord, I believe God blesses that church with revival. I believe God pours out his spirit there because that's a church that reverences him. That's a church that puts him in the place of honor and glory and power in their lives.
When we walk in the fear of the Lord and the reverence of the Lord, we walk according to His divine order. And that brings the glory of God in our lives. It brings His glory in our church and in our families. Would you stand with me in closing today? Hallelujah. WWJD. It's everywhere. I guess it's on bracelets and bumper stickers and just all kinds. WWJD. And everybody knows what it means. What would Jesus do? We ought to ask ourselves that more. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus have me do? What would Jesus have you do? What would Jesus be pleased with? What would displease the Lord? If you'll give your life to God, and if you'll follow His word and follow His plan for you and follow His commandments, God will start putting things into order. And when there's order, God's glory will be revealed. But when we decide we're going to go our own way, when we decide, well, I'm going to figure it out myself, and no, I don't need the word of God anymore because I've got what I think should be done, we step out of the divine order that God has, and we step out from the blessings, the anointing, and the power that God has for us. Spiritual submission. Every one of us. Every one of us have to be submitted. Every single one of us. And you think, well, the pastor, man, that must be nice. He gets to be in charge. I'm going to tell you, the pastor's got to be submitted to more people than you can even imagine. What do you do if the pastor's wrong? Pray for him because he's going to need help because God's going to deal with him. Resist the devil and he will flee. That's true. What does it say right before that? Submit yourselves to God. There's something about submission. Power. Not because we have power, but because of who we're submitted to. Our flesh doesn't like that. But we're not after the flesh. We're called to be after the Spirit of the Lord. There ought to be something in every one of our hearts that says, God, I cherish and I value and I respect your glory. So much so that, God, I want you to be involved in my daily life. I want to know what you're pleased with and what you're not pleased with. I want to submit myself to your word. I want to submit myself to your authority because, God, I don't want to ever lose the glory. I don't want to ever lose the glory. Don't take this for granted today. Don't take what we have for granted. And don't think, well, I own it. I don't care if we've been going to church all of our life. We don't own this. It's His, and He's had mercy enough and grace on us to show us His glory. Oh, God, don't take your glory from me. Don't let me be without your glory. But, God, I want to stay in the divine order that you have for me. Hallelujah. All across this house today, would you say, Lord, keep me in your divine order. Speak to my life, Lord. Search my heart today. If there's anything in my heart that's not right with you, if there's anything you're not pleased with, I pray that you reveal it to me today, God. Purify my heart. Purify my thinking. Help me to be pleasing to you, oh God, because I want to be in your order. I want to be submitted to your word. I want to submit to your plan for my life. Oh God, because I need that glory. I need that precious anointing. I I need that touch of God upon my life. Lord, I don't want you to be displeased from me and withdraw your glory, God, and withdraw your presence. But Lord, God, work on me here today. I repent of every sin. I repent of every sinful thing I've done, of every sinful thing I've said, of every sinful thought, Lord. I lay it on the altar today. I turn away from it, God, because I don't want to lose your presence in my life. I don't want you to withdraw your presence from me, God, but I want to be in your glory.